Let's start this here tonight with we're looking at things that we ought to know. I'm just going to do a few of them tonight, and then just tell everybody. You know, they can go get the rest of the questions and answers and concerns and stuff on one of my charts. The chart is Know Ye Not These Things. But during the day today, I've been looking at a different approach of this know thing. What do we know? So I'll start this on Wednesday night, even though, you know, some of you won't be there. I hope you take the time to listen to it later. I'll give you one flavor of it tonight when we're done here. But there's some other things that we need to know that don't show up the way Paul states it here with know ye not, if that makes sense. So let's just do a couple of them tonight. Let's go to Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's do this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 here. This is more teaching and stuff. I know that if I were to get a job in a different part of the state, that we'd have to stay half here in this house, and then I'd have to go move and live in the other place for a little while. That maybe the preaching as such would return. Let's just do some teaching again here tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Okay, what do we know this? I think we know this. I think we're pretty sure about the fact that don't we know that little leavening leaveneth the whole lump? One little thing over time can destroy the whole package. And I know we try to apply that in lots of cases. I could go back with some people that I know that are no longer standing with where they stood, you know, a couple of years ago, and I could show you each little degree of change. We've all been through this. We've all done this. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So do we know this? Well, I think we know it, but I think we tend to forget about it. For one thing, we don't recognize ourselves when we're changing. And I'll use this for an illustration. You know, there's people today that, for example, long hair and earrings on a man. You know, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, that just wasn't done. Unless you're just some radical, rebellious, whatever. But those same people, now in their older years, have these half-bald heads. But the hair they have left, they got it tied in a ponytail in the back, and they're wearing earrings. And what happened to these guys? Let's look at another one. You know, this homosexuality thing, the gayness, the queerness, the sodomiteness, whatever you want, wherever you want to go with that thing. There's so many people today that accept it. Or it wasn't that long ago, they hated it. And they say, unless it comes to my front door, I'm just going to ignore it, but it's not going to happen to me. I know pastors and fathers who are so afraid of their kids going that way that they try to make a man by punching them and being tough with them and, you know, being a tough father there. And I've realized that all they did was push their sons towards their mothers because their sons were afraid of dad. That didn't make them strong at all. It made them go to their mom, and they become very wussy, which eventually changes into that stuff. Now, how did this happen? These people that were so against it today are totally for it. Well, there had to be little by little by little by little by little, so small that you don't even recognize that it's being fed to you. Now, in the worldly basis, I read a quote today that this whoever this guy behind the Homeland Security thing, it's not him. It's one of the hot shots. The guy that's in trouble, Holster or something like that. The guy that's in trouble, this Fast and Furious thing. He said back in, I don't know, 85 or 95, who knows when it was, 75, whatever it was, that we just have to brainwash our country against guns. Well, ask the kids in school. Not out here, because all the kids out here, they're champion coyote callers and killers, you know, and they're better shots than I am, but that doesn't take very much to be a better shot than I am. But you go through the general country, it's been changed. The attitude against guns is huge. So there's changes going on. And we know enough that we've looked in the subliminal thing. We can find these little Levinatins in the magazines and the pictures. And I said this to you a couple of weeks ago, and I'll say it again, that whenever you look at it, especially a family magazine or something that's considered, you know, acceptable in America kind of a thing, anytime you see pictures that are not pictures, they're drawings, artistic renderings of food on a plate or food in an oven or water or various things, you know, hair, all the hair in the picture for a hair color thing, you look into that hair and you'll notice one thing. One is it's not a natural picture. It's a drawing. It's a touched up something or other. And if you stare at these things long enough and you let your eyes wander, I forget what you call that kind of art, where you have to put your one point of your eyes on one spot and stare at it till you kind of float around, and then all of a sudden a whole other picture shows up. You'll find that stuff in our magazines. You'll find them all the time. And they're getting more obvious, but this is that leavening that's taking place. This country has changed. This country is against the Constitution. If a guy, you know, here's a guy running for constitutional political stuff, and he finds out that they don't want the Constitution anyway. So what's happening? Is it direct teachings? Well, sure, some of it's direct teachings in the school, no doubt. But we know there's a lot of subliminal stuff going on. So we as Christians, sincere Christians, you know, Paul says, you know, your glorying is not good. So what are they glorying about? What's making this whole thing up? Well, let's go back to verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. I mean, this is radical stuff here. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. See, so these guys that are so proud of their knowledge, you know, and all this kind of stuff, they don't realize what's happening to people in their assembly and people that they know. I mean, we all have that sin in our flesh still, and it can happen to anybody. It can absolutely happen to anybody. Even something this gross, well, I guess, I can't imagine such a thing. But there's things out there that still take us down, tear us down, and make us just kind of lose our gooners, you know, as we used to say, or just take out the energy, you know, it wears you out. And we know we all fight these battles, as did Paul. But you're so proud and puffed up with what you know that you don't realize the seriousness of the situation, for example. I keep trying to tell people that are slowly falling back because they're just tired of, they say something like, oh, you know, you're just old and grumpy. No, one of the things that, if you look in Titus, one of the things that an old person is supposed to be, let's look it up here. Let's look in Titus. Chapter 2 here, it says here, the aged men be sober. And you look up sober, I mean, this is serious. There's some serious stuff going on out here. But people don't want you to be sober. They want you to, well, you're just one of those, you're Eeyores. And look at verse 4, young women are also to be sober. To love their husbands, to love their children. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. This is serious stuff. Verse 3, the aged women, likewise, sober. We read from Paul, these are we need to be sober. About what? Okay, I don't know, gosh, go down the list. The subliminal stuff that's taking us down, taking our children down, is even changing us. Let's look at the food. Look at all the chemicals in your foods. Look at the health concept thing, for example. Look at the lack of Raquel Welch said, of all people, that America is a pornographic society. Well, she ought to know. And she does, and she admits it. She's part of it. She was part of it. And so that's a serious thing. I mean, there's things that, you know, you could wear that people wore in the 30s, and it's terribly revealing today. Well, in the 30s or 20s or 10s or whatever, I don't think the mindset was as dirty-minded as it is today. So today you've got to basically just be so covered up that those thoughts don't come across, because we're a very sexually free society. How'd that come about? little by little by little. Well, how's this tribulation coming about? Little by little by little, and they're falling away. And people don't realize that this falling is even happening. Well, those of us that are, I don't want to say I'm aged, but I think I'm really close to it. I just don't want to admit that I'm aged yet, which is one of the reasons I'm still looking around, because I'd like to get one final big fling in life, but oh well. Those that are aged realize how much faster things are happening in the news today than they were, you know, a month ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. It's amazing how fast this thing is coming. So, but it had to come slow at first, otherwise people would recognize it. You know, for example, we talked this morning about the CIA being able to see stuff from the... We hear about that years ago, and we just kind of... Most people just kind of laugh. Like, that can't happen. Well, here we are. It's going to happen. And a lot of people still laugh. But I think there's still some people that go, gee whiz, my dad talked about that 10 years ago. I wonder if there isn't something going on here. When they finally ask those questions, they're going to find out it's too late. So when Paul says, keep going here, for I verily, verse 3, as absent in body, but present in spirit concerning him that hath done this deed. Well, the Bible takes care of this stuff. Yeah, it was a deed that shouldn't have been done. And something that serious for the guys just out of the water. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That the spirit, this is serious. And it can happen to anybody. Like I said, it can happen to any of us. Where it's time that you want to play in the world, hey, go play in the world. I know a couple of people that are so close to that, they struggle it. They haven't really got a choice. But they do have a choice, because they could make the choice and take what would come. But they're not going to make that choice. And so are they doing something as wicked as that one should have his father's wife? Well, that's pretty serious. Well, no, but if they toss everything out that they've learned, they're heading back to the world. And it isn't God that's going to chastise them and spank them like everybody says. Let my children go to the world and God will take care of them. No, he won't. I'll tell you who will take care of them. Satan will, for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved. Now, how can that be? Well, when we go off into the world on ourselves, we find out that, because we do this because of our flesh, we want to do better. We want to We want to get away from all this Eeyore stuff. So we get out there and we start doing this stuff and we realize our flesh is worthless. And we come back. And that's very possible. It's tremendously possible. So yeah, it's not that you're going to get killed to destroy your flesh to be killed, because it says, where is it at here? That the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. No, that's not. We're not looking at somebody being killed. It could happen, but then they haven't got the chance to come back. Anyway, this is what they're glorying about. There's so much junk going on that's wrong that if they just ignore it and have a great time having a puffed up knowledge. You know, these guys don't want to argue about Great Commission. These guys don't want to argue about the gap theory. They want to argue about heliocentricity and geocentricity. And all I want to ask these guys is, you know, that's a fantastic discussion you got going on there, but can I ask you a question? Are you following Paul's manner of life? You know, are you doing those things as a Christian that Paul has taught to us through his example and ensample and what we've learned from him and seen in him do? Are you doing any of that kind of stuff? I mean, these guys are heavy into the world, but they got these great discussions going on. And again, I have to say this for an example. It's really hard because I know a lot of ladies have to work. It's just a requirement in this particular life situation they're in. But the desire, it'll burn. I'm sorry, that's just what will happen, because Paul preaches against that, and the husbands are supposed to have that whole thing in Timothy and Titus and all that stuff. Okay, are you guys doing that? As you argue about heliocentricity and geocentricity, this gap theory, what does this have to do with your judgment seat of Christ? Zero. Then they always say to you, well, if you're not really a Bible believer, if you don't believe in the gap theory. Oh, yeah? Where'd you come up with that stuff? So the argument, the devil just enjoys watching us bicker over stuff that isn't even going to pay any value anyway. Anyway, so we just have to realize that little by little, we're all going to change if we don't stay in this book. You know, you watch, you finally give in, and let's take an example here, somebody who really has a problem with TV or movies or something, and he breaks away from it. It's a good start. Okay, I've got to quit watching this stuff, wasting so much of my time. So you break away from that thing. Oh, after a while, you know, there's a good documentary that comes on about, I suppose, Lewis and Clark, you know, or something, and you're interested because you live out there. And so you kind of watch that thing, and, that was kind of fun. It's like a cigarette. You know, you quit smoking, and then somebody walks by smoking, and then, boom, I think I'll just have one, and you're right back into it again. This is what I've been told. I've never had to fight that battle. But we've all got them, and we all quit. But that one little bitty thing starts it up again. Well, we all know this stuff. Don't we all know this stuff? It says, your glorying is not good, so we have to be careful that we don't just get all hot and mighty about all what we know. Well, for me, and I'll try to make this a decent testimony, I guess, I don't hope I get all high and mighty about this stuff, because like King James himself said, you know, we're not of them, but we certainly are amongst them. And I look at these people, and I realize that they're just so deceived that they're just going to go to hell. That's true. That's the way it's going to be. And I look at these kids, these kids have to be, the way things are looking for time value and time, all this kind of stuff, and on all the subliminal stuff they're getting and all the changes they're being taught, I look at these kids as the tribulational population. These kids will be the ones, they're so unaware of God, unaware of the Bible, unaware of anything in there, unaware of any decent morals, because if the parents have any morals in their family, these kids are against them, even out here. And I look at what they're listening to for music, and even though this is still mid-America, that music is bringing it all in. I mean, here are these guys out in the middle of this. These guys own 10,000 acres of what? Nothing. Grassland. Most of which is even Badlands grassland. And they're able to hear all these modern singers and all this junk that's going on in the big cities. So I realize that. So I don't have a glorying. Like, I really don't think I do. If you think I do, write to me and rebuke me and let me know, kind of a thing, you know. But I have a too hard a time looking at what's going on out there. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole? Oh, I know that. And it's going to happen to me. It's happening to me, I imagine. It's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to your kids. It's happening to this world. Nobody gets it. And then when it finally comes out in the news that the CIA has got the know-how and the wherewithal and the tools and the stuff's already set up, they want to watch what you're doing in your home, you've already been programmed. Yeah, that's okay. Because I got nothing to hide. Yes, you do. You will. If you don't now, you will. Because they're going to change what they think is illegal. And our kids, that's their life. My grandkids, that's what they're going to have to deal with. A gun that can shoot somebody and give them a heart attack, and then whatever it was, I don't know how this thing works, whatever it was that hit them dissolves. And there's going to be heart issues during the tribulation. And the Bible says that. I just thought of that. It talks about that. Oh, so it's not just going to be because we're so stressed out. It's going to be because that's what they're going to be killing you with, is a heart attack. Little leaven. Look at where we've gone. When we first got into this stuff with, you know, Kennedy was going to be the Antichrist, I think it was. I think we heard that one, you know, but some of you remember that. And, look at Obama. Well, he's pretty close. Yeah, he is, actually. Is that the way it's going to be, this whole Muslim thing? Well, give it another couple of years. Just can you imagine? I mean, what is it going to be like a year from now, after this election, or if they even have an election? Can you imagine the economy? What's happened to this economy? For years they've been saying this is going to happen. For years we've ignored it. Well, now here it is. How did it come about? I'm going too long at this point. I know I am. Because it came about little by little. So be careful with your glorying about what you know here. Because in the meantime, be sober-minded. Your kids got to get this stuff. Your family doesn't have this stuff. Your relationship, your person, yourself. Satan hindered Paul. Satan's going to be messing with you. They hinder you from hearing what you want to hear, which you should hear. And you're going to get mad about something. And you're going to change. No, not me. Yes, you. Yes, me. It can happen to anybody. Why? Well, because a little leaveneth, leaveneth the whole lump. You go on to read that chapter there, you find out that the person you're not supposed to have company with is actually one of the brethren. Uh-oh. I just looked over. Is the sound messed up again? Are y'all still there? Okay. I'm just kicked back, just yakking here. I'm not even paying attention to the screens. I don't know how long that's been up there. My phone's even turned off. Boy, what a day this has been. Okay. Let's go on to another one here. I don't know how much you missed of that, but there it is. There it is. Let's go here to... let's go to 2 Corinthians. Is that 2? I can't read my circle. In it. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Should we do that one? How are we doing for time? Probably made that one go way too long here. Let's look at this one here. We might not cover all the notes. Like I say, some of this is in that chart. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here we go. Let's see what we got here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's look at verse 9. Chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's pretty rough. That certainly isn't any of us, right? You know, fornicators, idolaters. Oh, idolaters. Well, okay, skip that one. Okay, adulterers. We'll skip that one. With nobody there. Effeminate. Well, that's pretty generalized. That's just a gayish, you know, feminine characters in the men. Nor abusers of themselves. Okay, we won't go there. Nor thieves. Well, now that can bring us all in somewhere. Nor covetous. Oh, now we kind of get slapped on that one. Nor drunkards. Okay, I'm not a drunkard. Nor revilers. Well, I think we've all done a little bit of reviling out there. Maybe not. Extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, well, as the verse says right there, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. This all ties together to this inheriting the kingdom of God. Well, we know that we've got the kingdom of God. That's what Paul preaches and teaches. So if you get engaged in fornication or idolatry or adulterism or being not the man you're supposed to be, nor abusers of yourself kind of a thing, if you become a thief, if you've ever stolen anything, you ever covet something, drunkard, revilers, extortioners. Because if you are, see, then you don't have the kingdom of God all of a sudden. So is this a verse you can lose your salvation? Boy, it would sure seem like it. Well, see, all things are lawful, huh? But not all things are expedient. So you could lose your salvation, see? All things are lawful for him, but I will not be brought into the power of any. Because if you are brought into the power of any, you lose your salvation. You lose the kingdom of God. Is that what this is all about? Well, of course not. Of course not. Let's look at Romans chapter 4, verse 5, because here's something we have to accept, and it isn't because of us. It's because of him. We're not unrighteous. Well, it's that simple. We're not counted as God, in God's eyes. We're not considered unrighteous. Yeah, but look at all the things you still do since you've been saved, you know, truly saved, and truly understand your salvation is, of course, by Jesus Christ, but it's through Paul's gospel that we hear about it. So he's the one that sets it up. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about that. So we looked at Romans chapter 4, verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. There's how we get our righteousness. There's how we're considered not unrighteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, for who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we realize that we're righteous. We just have to quit looking at ourselves as, well, that's our flesh, that's our sin. Well, sure it is. But me, myself, inside all this flesh, cut away from it, is a righteous person. Why? Because it's his righteousness that I have imputed, Romans chapter 4. It's the whole chapter. And people just can't handle that. I can handle that. Because I know I'm not doing good enough, even since I've been, you know, quote, a Christian, or not Christian. I really don't think I was truly saved when I thought I was. But now today, we still got some things that are issues in my life. We all do. So do we lose the inheritance of the kingdom of God? No. Romans 8. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. So, yeah, we inherit this stuff. And then I'll skip a couple more verses just for time here, just for the completion. Ephesians chapter 1:13 talks about which is the earnest of our inheritance. What we have now through Christ, it's just like a down payment. It's a small, tiny little down payment. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. Unto the praise of... We just have the earnest of our inheritance so far. Which isn't much. Well, earnest money usually isn't nothing compared to the... isn't anything compared to the final price of the house. So, we know that, right? We know the unrighteous won't inherit the kingdom of God, but we have to be careful that if we go to Romans chapter 10, verse 3, like the Jews were doing, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own. It isn't our righteousness we're talking about here. It's his. So that's why we say in the morning, we said the thing in Corinthians 2, do you know the things that are freely given to us? Yeah, his righteousness. He imputes his righteousness. And he takes care of the law so that the law has nothing to do with our righteousness. That'd be works. He took care of the law. And because he fulfilled it sinlessly, he imputes that to us. So we're not talking about doing something wrong and then losing the kingdom of God. That's not what this has anything... But you know that. I should say that. You know these things. We know that. Okay. Let's do another one here. Now, this one's going to be hard on me, but I'll do it anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Still got sound? I see something out there. What's going on there? Yes, past tense we are. Yes, totally. Did I miss that? Yeah, we're no longer that way. But we still do those things. So because we still do those things, have we lost to inherit the kingdom of God? No. It's not what it's talking about at all. We are righteous in him. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. Know ye not? You don't know this? Come on. That they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. Did you know that? Well, you know, nowadays, that's not really true. You go to an elementary field day where everybody has to run a race and all that stuff, everybody gets a ribbon. Everybody gets a prize. Might be a different color. You see? So there's no incentive to go for the big blue or the purple or whatever. So this whole teaching is gone as far as that goes. It's competition. They don't want competition. It's just no fun to be a loser. Well, anyway. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all? I mean, everybody's running, but one receiver. There's still a winner here. So you work really hard. You want to be that winner. You're not satisfied with being the loser. You have to know how to lose, but you're still not satisfied with it. You run as hard as you possibly can. You want that prize. Now, you can't say this, that there's only one that gets this. No. So that says here, so run that ye may obtain. Now, quite often, we run out of gas. We all do. I have. I do. I probably will again. I haven't got the tank filled out, as far as that goes. So when we're running this race, have you ever been in a race where you are so far behind, you just kind of like, oof, what's the point? And you just kind of fizzle out and drop off. That can happen to us. But he's telling us, don't let it happen. I'm not totally sure that we all haven't been so discouraged with talking about this Paul stuff and the risen Savior stuff that nobody wants to hear it. Romans 11:22. They're not going to want to hear it, the goodness of God. That we don't just shut up and quit running the race. Because whoever's out front is just working everything he's got. He's just pumping and running and pushing. And then if the guy sneaks up behind him, he can actually turn on some more. The adrenaline kicks in and you just really keep working hard. I'm not sure any of us have gotten to that point anymore. I remember being in the pulpit back in Washington and just getting into this stuff. Man, I was excited. I thought this was just the greatest stuff in the world. And I just wanted to tell people, especially in the pulpit, because they come to listen. Okay, here you go. I have a captive audience somewhat. And give it to them and show them the stuff. But by the time I was done, nothing had changed. A lot of bitterness had developed and angry at me because who am I to tell them what to do? And they used to say, don't blame the messenger for the message. Now they're blaming the messenger. And, let's go move there. Okay, that fizzled because of some stuff. Let's go move here. Can this fizzle? We get tired. But as we get closer to the tribulation, as we get closer to the fact that nobody wants to hear about Paul, Romans 11:22 again, if somebody is listening that thinks I'm saying that their community is not interested in Paul, if your community was interested in Paul, they'd be talking to you. You'd have yourself a gathering. You'd have yourself a group. So don't tell me that your town is interested in Paul, because it isn't. Kadoka is not interested. Name the city in this country that's interested. There are none. There are people within that city, maybe, in that town. Nobody here that I know of so far. But have I gone door to door? Have I done this stuff? Have I pursued it? How many of us have pursued it? You talk with somebody, and it just goes down. So after a while, we quit running for that prize because obviously I'm not ever going to win that prize. Well, the prize isn't salvation. We're not doing this for works. But the prize to me is that somebody gets perked with this goodness of God through Paul stuff. See, that letter from Stephen, or Marine Corps Stephen, or Stephen as I like, is a fantastic letter. This guy got started. That's a prize to me to read that. And you got to know the challenges and the hits that he's going to take in his life. Will he maintain? I don't know. But he's got to start. And he's fired up again. He's been up and down like all of us. I know somebody was fired up who now is just falling so far back, but they have no choice to quit running for the prize. You know, you're running the race, and let's say Paulson was out there. Everybody knows Paulson isn't going to win, so they laugh and mock and tease Paulson. He's running. Boy, that doesn't fire you up. And you got bad weather only in your lane. Do you ever feel like that? You're running a race, 10 lanes, there's 10 people, but there's only bad weather in your lane. They've got the sunshine, the wind at their back. You've got the hail and the tornadoes and the wind at your face. It's just how you feel, but it's only in your lane. You know, selective weather, selective interferences. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Do we know that? We're looking for results. And I just got to remind myself that they're not going to see the results we saw 3 years ago, 6 years ago, 5 years ago. So the fact that, you know, some of you folks, Jeanette and Mark, and you guys have been with us for a long time. There's people that have been to this a long time, and then they still they're not, but they still listen later. I mean, it changes. I have to so much keep my mind off the numbers, because that doesn't mean anything. Gain is godliness to the modern crowd, but that isn't what it is. Just our labor is in vain. You want to try to tell somebody? Tell them. That's what you're supposed to do. Don't expect results. You'll get discouraged. Trust me, I wrestle with that all the time. Don't give up. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That'd be through Paul, obviously, Paul's stuff. And that labor is not in vain. Steadfast and unmovable. We are so movable. Up and down, up and down. Paul says in Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain. There's rewards coming for doing what we're doing, just not now. And we use wisdom. Oh, there's some comments here, but that's okay. We've got to use wisdom other stuff. We don't just go out there and mouth off. One in Galatians talks about Paul. He's up with he's with those that are of reputation. And he says, I went out by revelation and communicated with them unto them that the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which are of reputation. So he's wisdom there. He didn't just mouth off to everybody. Because it says, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Paul knew the situations. Paul knew when to tell somebody something, and he knew when not to tell somebody something. Well, I'll tell you, the temptation in the classroom to me is just fantastically challenging. But I don't dare. I just don't dare. And yet, they see something. Is there enough there to get me fired already? One of the kids quit in band the other day, I guess, because they found a website on music. And that made this little girl mad. She's seventh. She's only a seventh grader. But it made the parents mad enough to pull her out. So I'll probably hear about that one. It's not going to happen today. It's not there. Again, Romans 11:22. Anyway, let's finish this with... That's still not the complete study to that thing. Let's finish this with one more thing here. And this is what we're going to start getting into. If you want to hear more of what Paul wants us to learn, just pull out go to the chart page and pull up the chart that says, Know ye not these things. It'll print in a PDF on a 8x11 page. But boy, you better have some good eyes. Otherwise, print it on a 14 by whatever. Or send me $100, I'll send you a chart or two. There's something else. We're going to look at this in a different manner. And it's the word known. K-N-O-W-N. Be it known unto you, therefore. Be it known to you. And Paul has some things he wants us to be known of. He wants us to know about. It's just a different word, a different approach. It's a different study that's got some other things, actually much more detail. But I want to show this one for my... Are we still hearing sound out there? I hope so. I want to show somebody that a lot of people don't understand. Uh-oh. Yep, yes, okay. And here we go. This is what people have a hard time understanding is Peter's gospel and Paul's gospel. And we're stepping back from the scene here. We're kind of looking at the big general picture. Let's go to Acts 2:14, for example. This will be the last one. This is kind of a prelude into what we're going to talk about on Wednesday night. And I haven't done this one ever, so I'm looking forward to my own studies. Hope I can pass on what I get out of this thing. Acts 2:14. I think I'll throw one of Galatians. I think of that one, okay? Acts 2:14 says here, but Peter, Acts 2:14, okay, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you. Here's what Peter wants these people to hear. Hearken to my words, he says. Okay, so this is Peter So is Peter telling us Gentiles, that be this known unto you, listen to me. Are we supposed to listen to Peter? No, we know that. We know we're not supposed to listen to Peter. Okay? He says in like 2:28, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy. So if we follow Peter's teachings, are Peter's teachings supposed to be our way of life? No, Paul is our way of life. Acts 4:10. Be it known unto you all. Oh, does that bring in the Gentiles? No. And it says, and to all the people of Israel. No, it doesn't. He's still talking to Jews here. That by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified. So he's still talking to the Jews here, the people of Israel. Not just the ones in front of him, but all of them in the whole country. Israel. Okay? So we go to Acts 28:28. And this is where the mid-Acts guys say that the Bible changed, but the whole gospel changed. No, Paul went to the Gentiles, turned away the Jews in transitions. Acts 8, Acts 13. We don't just jump to Acts 28:28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. So we need to know that. Be it known therefore unto you. Now, that's one extreme. That's Peter on one side and Paul on the other. If you know what I'm showing here with verses. There's a transition here. We don't follow Peter's teachings, but Peter did go to the Gentiles through the Jews. It's called the Great Commission. So it's not a false gospel, but it is a false gospel if taught today as the gospel. So we go to where Paul says, well, see, now from here on out, God went to the Gentiles, and the Jews want to hear it, they can, but most of them are just blinded anyway, so they're not going to get it. But if we go to Acts 19, verse 17, this is the middle verse now. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks, also dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. So we see, this is just a very general picture here. We see that Peter was the guy to the Jews, and then they swept off to the Gentiles a little bit, and then the Jews and the Greeks, and then Paul finally says, this is Gentiles only. And now we're supposed to listen to Paul, not to Peter. Peter taught to the Jews. And just to verify that thing for people, which apparently doesn't seem to mean much to most people out there, it's in Galatians. I think you know the verse there. You can't get more specific than this about Peter and Paul. But I guess people don't like it. Verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8. When they saw that this gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, that's Paul, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, Jews, apostles' doctrine, the same was mighty in me, Paul, toward the Gentiles, Paul's doctrine, Paul's manner of life. So it needs to. We have to be able to rightly divide what we're supposed to know. Unto me the ways of life from Peter or from Paul. And it's obvious. We are to be looking to Paul. Be it known that Paul's my guy. And just for a little frosting on the top, if you do any kind of studies of history at all, we know that the Catholic Church follows Peter's, you know, lawful teachings. And all these churches that are going back into their Alzheimer's stage of the beginning church age, they're all going back to Peter's teachings. You want to teach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts 1 through 8 to your people, then you're teaching Peter's teachings. You want to keep going to James and Jude and Peter, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, you're teaching apostolic doctrine, you're teaching Peter's teachings. Now we're supposed to turn to Paul. Only. And they try to mix both Peter and Paul. And they don't realize it, but they're really following Mary. Thus you have a sermon I wrote probably 10 years ago, or even not that well far ago. You know, I had a series on Peter, Paul, and Mary, which I thought was kind of humorous, but apparently not. It didn't seem to win a lot of people, but whatever. So anyway, there you go. Just some laid-back things about what we should know. Paul just says, "Know ye not?" 11, you know, that kind of stuff. And then we're going to start looking at, be it known, things we're supposed to know, more things we're supposed to know. And it's really quite interesting, some things that he wants us to know. So, see, if we know these things, that will change our life. That's what he's saying. You'll change something in your life, but you won't if you don't know about it. And like I said this morning, you're not going to have any understanding to at least know about it. You're not even going to have any ounce of wisdom until you understand this stuff. And you're not going to understand this stuff until we know about it. So, I will be more of a teacher than a preacher, and I'll try to teach this stuff to those that are interested. And there you go.